Welcome to Sunstein Sessions on iHeartRadio. Conversations about issues that matter. Here's your host, winner of two Gracie Awards, Shelley Sunstein.
I'd like to wish you all a very happy Mother's Day, and I'm going to warn you that this is going to be a very emotional Mother's Day segment. I'm going to give you a little background first, introduce who is with me. Louis Rivera is 20 years old, and sitting next to Louis is his aunt and surrogate mom, Melinda Rivera. And sitting next to Melinda is Michael Barish of Barish & McGarry, the wonderful law firm that helps 9/11 victims. Now, Liana Rivera worked for Michael Barish as a paralegal. And Barish & McGarry is a law office that is virtually steps from the World Trade Center. So when you talk about a law firm representing 9/11 victims, they live that every day because some of their own employees have become 9/11 victims and survivors. Liana was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2011, and unfortunately, we lost her in 2014 when Louis was 16 and Melinda became his surrogate mom. And so Louis celebrates the life of two moms today. Michael, I want you to tell us about Liana, and because we're honoring her and her memory today.
All right. So first of all, thank you for shining a light on this. And you're right, Shelley. And first of all, happy Mother's Day to my own mom and my wife, who are great mothers, and to all of you out there. Liana was the life of the party in my office. She was full of personality. She was also a terrific paralegal, but everybody looked to her as their confessor. I mean, everybody went to her with their problems. She was everyone's mom.
How long did she work for you?
Oh, for about a dozen years. So she wasn't just a great paralegal and legal assistant. She was a great mom to everybody. And she, of course, to Louis, who's sitting here now and who's obviously, you know, very emotional about this, as we all are. But my firm takes this 9/11 stuff so personally, because in addition to losing Liana, who died of breast cancer, my own secretary had B lymphoma. Thank God she's cancer free today. Another person in my office has brain cancer. Thank God she's okay, but she's still on chemotherapy. And another two people have skin cancer. So we live it every day because we were just two blocks from ground zero when they said, go back to work.
The air is safe. A week later, you were all back to work.
That is absolutely right. So that was the real tragedy. This didn't have to happen.
Melinda, are you the younger sister?
Yes. I'm the youngest. It's three of us. It was, and I'm the youngest.
So tell us about your sister Liana.
She was great. She was like Michael said. She was always the one laughing and joking, but also had a mean streak in her.
You know? Oh, but what does that mean?
But away with words.
Uh huh.
And Louis always loved that about her, right, Nene?
Mm-hmm.
But
so she wouldn't mince words.
No, she didn't. She wasn't one to mince words. But we miss her every day.
I know this is such a hugely difficult thing to talk about, and we are honoring her, and also highlighting the fact that this is still happening today. But at what point how old were you when you became Louis's surrogate mom?
Well, we raised him together.
Oh.
So we always lived together, me upstairs, her downstairs. And Louis was always considered the boy with the two moms. So we always played a role in raising him. So it was kind of, you know, great that we were always together.
And you live in the Bronx.
Yes.
And Louis, by the way, is a student at Southern Connecticut State University. And what are you studying? What are you going to major in? Or do you have a major now?
Recreation and leisure.
So what are you going to do? Are you going to be a trainer?
I don't know yet.
A coach?
Something like that. It's like higher ed. So I could work in Res Life and work in the dorms at colleges and universities and stuff like that.
Yeah, he's a resident assistant at his college now.
Oh, nice. Very nice. Yeah. Very nice. So you were how old? You were 14 when your mom was first diagnosed?
13.
13. Mm-hmm. And that's really young. So how did you handle this? Because it's a special situation when, you know, the mom is ill and has needs, but you were, you know, barely a teenager, and that's a huge responsibility.
Well, she told us about it. Well, told me about it on our way to church, because I used to go to church with her like every Tuesday. So she basically just said, leave it in God's hands and everything will work out. And then like she raised me to be like
you know, if I can jump in while you compose yourself, Lewis, I'll tell you something that as a layperson, I was so I had no idea. So we all thought after Liana's original diagnosis and her treatment and her mastectomy that she was going to be okay. And in fact, she was cancer free for 2 years, right?
A year.
And then her shoulder started to hurt. I'll never forget this. And we all thought, oh, it must be muscular, remember? Mm-hmm. And it turned out that the breast cancer had traveled to her shoulder. And that you can get breast cancer in other areas of your body. I had no idea.
I had no idea either.
Yeah, and she ultimately died of breast cancer, but it wasn't, that had metastasized and they hadn't realized it.
And one of the things about these 9/11 cancers is that they're like often cancers on steroids.
Yes.
That it's not the normal cancer and that they don't react the normal way in the human body.
It's always rare.
Yeah, and think about it too. I mean, you put all these chemicals together that have never been, and they were, the buildings were on fire for 99 days. Our office reopened after a few weeks when the EPA assured us the air was safe. And so you have this incredible mixture of chemicals. They didn't find one phone, they didn't find one computer after the buildings collapsed. Why? Because we were all breathing it. And you've talked about this before, Shelley. You know, when they found, when they did Jimmy Zedroga's autopsy, they found a host of carcinogens in his lungs. Well, we were all breathing the same dust, and it wasn't just the firefighters and the cops. It was the office workers and the residents and the students also.
So let me ask you this. So I remember the New York Post headline, EPA Commissioner Christy Todd Whitman says the air is safe. I'll never forget that headline in the New York Post. The air is safe 1 week later. You guys were working down here at the time. I was not. What did you think at the time?
We thought this stinks. The buildings were on fire. Anytime the wind blew in our direction, we were only a block and a half from ground zero, you'd smell it. And it was like, what is that smell? Well, we now know it was the smell of death. It was the smell of all these carcinogens that were cooking. And you didn't have to be on the pile to be exposed to it.
But when did you start thinking that, oh my God, we could fall ill? Or when did you even start thinking that people could fall ill? Because in the early days, you know, I mean, the guys working at Ground Zero took off their masks. It was hot.
Yeah.
It was, you know, late summer. But at what point did you start thinking this might be a serious health problem?
Well, for the first responders who we represent, thousands of them, I thought about that immediately because they were all coughing. Remember, they dubbed this the World Trade Center cough. But for people like Liana Rivera and the other men and women in my office who have subsequently been diagnosed with cancers, I didn't think about it until Liana got sick, even though I should have because we were right nearby.
But wait a minute. Did others get sick before Liana?
No, Liana was the first person in my office to get sick.
So that was 2011. 10 years later. Think of this, people, 10 years later. And think of this, that 16 and a half years later, people are still just now getting ill. You don't think this is happening. This is happening. And what I'm hearing is that people who are diagnosed oftentimes, like I said, it's a cancer on steroids, and they don't live long. Like, by the time it's diagnosed, mm-hmm. it's exploding.
Right. And NIOSH and the World Trade Center Health Program have both linked Liana's cancer, as well as the others in my office and the thousands of other residents and office workers we represent now, have linked their cancers to that toxic exposure. Yeah. So, you know, I'm so happy that we can talk about Liana today and, you know, preserve her memory. She deserves it, but she's also a poster child for the residents and office workers who are also sick.
At what point, Michael, did you have the conversation with Liana that this is probably September 11th related? Do you remember?
Yeah, of course. When the cancer came back. And the doctors were so shocked. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And everybody thought
we
after the mastectomy.
Yeah.
So what did they tell? What did the doctors tell her?
Everything was rare. Her cancer was rare. It was a rare form of an aggressive form of cancer.
Right.
What were the chances of that happening? Because in the beginning, you have, not to say cancer's good, but you're going to recover from this, you're going to do chemo, have the mastectomy, everything's going to be over.
And how old was she when she was first diagnosed?
47. And the first 3 months went by great. And I remember Christmas time, we had the best Christmas that year because she was cancer-free and everything was great. And then all the little bad news started happening where, no, now you need radiation and just in case, and it was more aggressive. And then the pain started happening. So they told her she was in remission, but then she started getting pains on her back, on her legs. And she did tests and everything was okay. And then about a year later, it was the cancer that was slowly sleeping back in, but couldn't be found at the time.
Was her cancer covered under the fund at the time?
No cancers were linked until 2012. Yeah. I remember testifying at a hearing, and I told about all the people in my office that we represented with cancer, and I suggested that 8 cancers be added. At that point, none had been added. And sure enough, they ended up adding what is now 68 cancers.
Yeah. Okay, so if talking now to listeners who may have, and I know this is difficult, but talking to listeners who may have lost loved ones, you can still go back and be covered under the Victim Compensation Fund.
And the health program.
How does that work if they're deceased?
So if you're deceased, there is a strict 2-year statute of limitations to apply for compensation. But you can still apply, even if it's been more than 2 years, you can apply and get compensated for your loved one's pain and suffering. So you should contact an attorney just to find out what your legal rights are. You should, if you're still alive, you should contact the health program, or your loved ones should, and register, because they'll pay your out-of-pocket expenses, they'll pay for your co-pays, which can be enormously expensive. You know that, Melinda.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, it can devastate a family financially.
And if you're listening on my podcast, Sunstein Sessions, which you can get on the iHeartRadio app, the World Trade Center Health Program is in all 50 states. It's free. And if you need to get in touch with Barish and McGarry, it's real simple, 911victimfund.com. Lewis, do you want to say, now you're okay, a little more composed. I know this is so difficult, and thank you for sharing. What do you want our listeners to know about your mom? And I'm sure you feel her with you.
She played the role of both parents well. She took.
Tell us about her sense of humor.
Right, a great sense of humor. Go ahead.
All right.
Well, she had a great sense of humor. Her and Lewis were so close. I mean, they did everything together. They went out, movies.
As you said, she played both roles, and that's a tough thing for a mom to do. And, you know, just bless you. And wherever you are, I hope it's in a better place. Your son's doing great. I hadn't seen him in a number of years. He did his job. He grew up.
Yeah.
And he's a young man now, and you'd be really proud of him, Liana.
And we're really, proud of Lewis. And thank you, Melinda.
Yeah.
And thank you, Lewis Rivera of the Bronx. And we thank you, Liana. We thank you. And a happy Mother's Day to you all. And I'll be back, and we'll be talking about other moms. You don't, when you think of a homeless person in New York City, you probably think of a panhandler on the street, and you have the wrong idea, because most of the homeless in New York City are families, and their families most often led by women. And we'll be talking about them next, Q1043.